It's really bizarre when you're sitting around the table telling a fantasy story with characters that are goofy and obnoxious, but then having moments where people are around the table crying because they're so invested.
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
So for this week, we have a very exciting.
Yes. Interview. Lee's so excited he can't speak. It's great. I'm actually really excited also. I'm going to try and say words
We have Josh of the Sneak Attack podcast and the Titans of Altera podcast. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. I'm good.
Oh, we are very happy to have you here.
Dude, well, I'm grateful. I appreciate it.
Sneak Attack was kind of like the podcast launch for both Lee and myself. What really got us into listening to podcasts and maybe wanting to have one day, and kind of Sneak Attack literally, I guess, made this happen. So thank you.
It's true.
No, we're not taking that much credit.
Oh,
I
yes,
really
yes,
appreciate it.
Yes, you are.
You should. You really should.
I really appreciate whenever someone says, like, we heard something you did and it made us want to do something as well. It's one of my favorite things to hear. It makes me so happy. But legitimately, like, you guys made this thing. We're really happy to, like, and honored that we're part of your history and story. But yeah, it's all you guys.
It's great. I think Sneak Attack Volume 1 was the first podcast that I listened from, like, episode 1 all the way through to the end.
Dude, that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah. I haven't started the new one yet backlog because I know I'm just going to binge it.
Well, and it's volume 2 is seasonal. So you could even wait for the whole season 1 and then just binge the entirety of season 1 once it's done.
There you go. I'm going to do that.
We decided like going 3 straight years without stopping a single weekend was probably like not healthy.
Yeah, no. Probably not.
That's a lot. That's a whole lot.
It's hard though, because like maybe that was part of what like helped Sneak Attack get good. I don't know, you know, but
I mean, the consistency was there. Mm-hmm. You guys were every week, man. You guys were there with something. And it was good.
Thanks.
And that's hard.
That is really hard.
We've been doing this for a year, and that's hard.
Yeah, it's a lot. You need to like self-care is important, and your product can hurt if you're not healthy. So that was a hard lesson for us to learn. But yeah, but we're honestly amidst it all. We're about as surprised, I think, as anybody, and incredibly proud of what Volume 1 turned out to be. That is still one of the most incredible experiences of my life, getting to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The epilogue episode, I literally had to stop halfway through it and did not listen to the second half for like 3 months.
Dude.
Because I like... teary-eyed. I listen to it while I drive, like in between my jobs
this
for
can't
work.
End.
Yeah, no, like I'm about to start bawling in my van, and I had to just turn it off. Like, no, it can't be over yet.
You know what? You're not alone. I've actually heard multiple people say they had to just like take a break and then come back to it because it was just too much.
Like the last episode was getting to me, and then the epilogue. I started that one. I was like, no, it can't be over yet. No, I can't.
Well,
I
gotta tell you, Joe, you've got a beard that Greg would be proud of.
Oh, for real.
I appreciate
that.
That
thing's dang near tuckable.
It's getting close. It's getting close.
Oh, I love it. All right. So for those that are listening that may not know what Sneak Attack is or what Titans of Altera is, why don't you kind of go into a little bit about these two podcasts that you are a part of?
Sure. So Sneak Attack and Titans are actual play podcasts, which is where a group of friends get together and they actually play D&D. And so that's what we've been doing for like 4 years now. And so we started Sneak Attack 2015. My buddy Reed is the Dungeon Master, and a couple of our other friends got together and he would DM it. I would edit it. And we did that for 3 straight years. Then realized that was an insane schedule to keep. And we took a break for about 6 or 7 months. I can't remember. And somewhere in there, I about went insane with needing something to do. So I realized rather than antagonizing Reed and our friends about trying to do something with Sneak Attack, I needed to just start my own show. And so we started Titans. I brought my family together. And so it's my wife, my brother, my sister-in-law and her husband. And so it's five family members sitting down playing D&D together, which creates for some unique dynamics, some of which are hard for me because none of them really respect me as a dungeon master, but it's, I get my come uppings cause I was a pill on Sneak Attack sometimes for Reed, but yeah. And we've been doing that. We're getting really close to finishing the first season of Titans and Sneak Attack Volume 2, we started back up. And so now I'm in the middle of two podcasts and it's super fun. It's been a blast. Yeah. We're loving it.
Very
good. I don't know if that's explanation enough. Like, do you want me to explain it more? Dungeons and Dragons is a fantasy game. And
I think we might have that part covered. So.
Okay.
Hopefully. Either that or welcome.
Yes. Welcome to the world of tabletop RPGs.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to learn about the D&D.
We're going to throw a lot of letters at you that you're probably not going to understand.
Also, you're going to need some rudimentary math skills, just a heads up.
Yes.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. I still struggle with that a lot. A lot.
Yeah. So,
but that's fine.
So charts are good.
So with Sneak Attack, Reed comes up with that when he plans everything out. And with Titans, that is on you.
Yes.
Which have you enjoyed more, playing in Reed's world or getting to craft and create your own with Titans?
Honestly, it's they're wholly different experiences. Mm-hmm. Like it's super hard for me to compare them because Greyek, like the I played a dwarf Eldritch Knight in Sneak Attack, and he's the first D&D character I ever made. And every one of my friends rolled their eyes when they realized that's the character I chose to be in our podcast. Because they're like, you can't just use a character you've played before. You got to make a new one. But I was like, no, if this gets big, it needs to be Greyek. Because I was like, I love Greyek. So even before I knew if we were going to have any listeners or anything, I was like, Greyek's got to be the guy. He's got to be the one I stick with. And honestly, getting to flesh that, my personal favorite character that I've ever made, flesh him out more than I ever had before, get him to like live out an entire story arc in over the course of 3 years it really like resonated with me. And I've never before, and I even feel like this is just rare for just playing D&D because you don't usually end campaigns. I've started a lot and been a part of a lot, but it's really rare to like have a campaign itself come to a real satisfying close. And I've never before had a character that I felt so completely like familiar with and understand. I know this character inside and out as much as I know myself. And I'm really comfortable being done. I played Greyek. We walked him all the way out through to 9 levels and all this stuff. And I feel like I know his history, his backstory. I know what he's doing now. And I'm good. Like, I don't feel any, it sounds bizarre, but I don't feel any need to play Greyek ever again.
Wow.
Like, I really feel like closure with that character, which I would never have expected. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's huge.
So.
Yeah, I think that's really rare, too.
Very. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's my favorite character. I still love him. We got the Sneak Attack fans send us a box of Christmas gifts every year. Every year now we get like a box and we open it up and it's full of stuff. And I have a Greyek nutcracker and with a big old red beard. And I have a Greyek little miniature that someone made on Hero Forge. And I open those things up and it's some of my favorite stuff. Cause it's like, there's other people who fell in love with this character as much as I love him. So that is incredibly profound, but Titans has been a very different experience. It's because there's really no one character I'm I'm attached to. I'm building this world and trying to tell a story. And so it comes with a lot. Like, I don't get to just show up and do whatever I want every recording. So Greyek could just pull whatever lever he saw and just jump into any hole and cause all kinds of problems. But DM Josh has to spend 10 to 15 hours like writing and preparing before each recording session. So the experience is very different. It's very different. But I will say, because I've been dungeon mastering for years, and what we're doing with Titans, what I'm getting to do with my family on Titans has been it. I literally wouldn't say this unless I meant it. I'm not just blowing smoke up my own butt, but it has been the best dungeon mastering experience of my life. Like getting to sit around the table and see my family interact and make each other laugh and be part of telling something. Like it's really bizarre when you're sitting around the table telling a fantasy story with characters that are goofy and obnoxious, but then having moments where people are around the table crying because they're so invested in the moment. That it's so bizarre to me. It's like this weird, like, middle ground between acting and like experiencing, if that makes any sense at all. Like, because your legit emotions are involved to some degree. It's been really, really cool. We had that with Sneak Attack, and it's really, you worried that like you won't find something like that again, but we really feel like we found something special with Titans. So that's been cool.
I would agree. I'm about 11 or so episodes in. I just started binging a couple days ago on it because that's how I like to eat my podcast, is as big a bite at a time as I can. But I'm about 11 episodes in. They just fought the Titans for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. And three Titans show up.
Yes. The dynamic in that group is absolutely amazing. The characters seem perfect for who these people come through as, and it works beautifully.
Dude, yeah. You write out like kind of what you plan as a dungeon master, and I'm kind of trying to do a little bit of like dungeon mastering / writing, because we are very much trying to make it a show as much as it is a game. Mm-hmm. So I use what I call soft rails, where I'm not using hard rails. I'm not saying this is the only thing that can happen, but I am very clearly giving them a call to action or a very clear kind of like, here are some options you have to choose from. It's really been amazing to me to see them stick so much to their characters and walk things out how they feel like their character would walk things out, and seeing them interact. So every single time we sit down to record, I'm always blown away by what they choose to do. And I can't predict it as much as I wish I could, but it leads to way more authentic moments than anything I could have written, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really cool. And it's an interesting point that you make about writing soft rails because you're trying to create a show. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like having been a player in Sneak Attack for so long that experience has really helped you in creating this story for Titans so that it can be more of a story and a D&D game, but also being for entertainment?
Oh, yeah. I'd say like 100%. Like Reed, the dungeon master for Sneak Attack, he informs how I dungeon master in almost every way. Like I view kind of him as the pinnacle of DM. So when I set out to create my world, and when I choose what kind of like rules I focus on and things that I pay attention to and things I don't care about, I line up pretty close to where he lines up. But what was really interesting for me was with Sneak Attack, we didn't know what we were doing. we just knew we wanted to play D&D with our friends and record it and share it, and we had no idea where it would go, who would listen. So when we started seeing, like, you know, 500 people are downloading, and then 1,500 people are downloading, then it started getting to the 100,000s, and we're well, 100,000 downloads. We've never had 100,000 people listening. I want to make that clear. I'm not trying to fudge our numbers. But when we were seeing like, you know, like 15, 20,000 people are listening, it was like, we were like, oh my gosh, like what are we doing? And all of a sudden there are like dozens of people that are picking apart Reed's World and and catching every single bit of inconsistency in anything that we did with our characters or with the world building. It was like any mechanical failures that we had. Like, and it was so amazing because, so when you play D&D, right? Do you guys DM, either of you? Regularly?
Yes.
Okay. So yep. There are things that you build out in your world intentionally, and then there are things you build out because your players find interest in them. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you go exactly. So over there's a rock with a little red dot on it, but over here is this guy and he's a raid in blue armor and da 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 da, and you start going into detail and they go, well, we really want to know about this rock. Why is there a red dot? And so they're like, we're gonna figure this out. So you didn't really have any intentions for that rock, but now you have to come up with what's significant about that. And with sneak attack, it was amazing to me, like, that there were whole things that the audience just latched onto. They were like, this is important. This has to be important. And I talked to Reed. I'd be like, is it important? He goes, I don't know what they're talking about. So there was, it was kind of some, like, there were just so many things we didn't expect when you have an audience that gets that big. And so when I was creating Titans, my goal, and I think Reed very much in the same way with volume 2 of Sneak Attack, we both talked about it, and we're trying to build out these stories now in a way where there's enough depth there that for anyone who's going to want to search for it and really find and nitpick and dig into the world, like, there's enough like lore and mystery and intentional things built in that it's there to be found if you want to look for it. But if you're not looking for it, you're still going to get a great story and not like miss anything. So there's been some very intentional moves in terms of the way we're approaching storytelling, the way we prep for story. When you're playing with just your friends, who cares how long it takes you to get from one city to the next? You know what I mean? Usually when you're playing with friends, that's not even no one even cares about that. No one thinks about that. But when you're playing in front of an audience, all of a sudden it's really important. the amount of people that were like, wait, so if a boat left this island to this place, then why did it take the players on a boat this long to get from there to there? And and Reed's like, I don't know, because they both needed to arrive at different times. So I mapped out Altera and I paced out. I literally did tons of research to figure out how long does it take to travel via horse, wagon, individual, and so, like, just to try and get, like, a general sense of, okay, I want to get my distance. I want the world to feel, like really real, you know? So I had to create some of my own standards to sustain that, so that if people start questioning, they're not going to get, like, the answer that most DMs give, which is, like, who cares?
It's either who cares or because I said so.
Exactly.
Magic.
while that like is totally cool with a group of friends, it's hard to do that as like a showrunner in front of an audience.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's a mob of people.
Yeah. So I've tried to like seed some. I've tried to seed enough lore and mystery and substance into the world around the players that we stay really consistent. So. Yeah, that would be the biggest way I feel like it affected me.
Very nice.
That's a really cool answer. I can definitely see how first starting, like, especially just friends at the table, like you said, it doesn't matter. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. But once you start getting bigger and then you can get to a position where you can actually plan for it. And then at that point, I mean, when your players are like, well, mm-hmm. what's the significance of this rock? You're like, I know this.
Yeah.
Which makes a big difference.
Yeah. It's the like, I mean, I think a lot of people refer to like Tolkien as the granddaddy of world building. He built out so much of his world that there are hundreds and like thousands of pages they compiled a whole book of all the extra content about world building that he created that was in none of his like major books. So he created so much world that as he was, and he followed his characters along the story he was writing, the world building was all there, but it wasn't, the world wasn't the focus. You know what I mean? You didn't read those books or watch those movies because you wanted to know about the like trade negotiations between Gondor and you know what I mean, like the other human realms, but it's there, like the details there, the relationships are figured out, and they're affecting the way that the world is moving, but it's not center stage, and it probably doesn't need to be, you know.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this doesn't exactly have anything to do with the podcast, but more from like a world building perspective, from a player's point of view, what do you feel like is, well, and from a DM's point of view too, mm-hmm. but mainly from the players, like what is important to be able to see and interact with within a world for it to feel built out?
Yeah.
Like, do I need that Tolkien volume of materials to be able to jump into a game and be like, now we can play?
Definitely 100% not. Oh my gosh. I feel like that's like what some like DMs get like trapped in is like, mm-hmm. I have to build out every facet and detail of my world before we even hit go on the first episode. So I always like to say, like, you want to stay local as much as you can. Like, flesh out as much detail around your players rather than like, so I use broad strokes for most of the world, but I only start really fleshing out the details when I know they're going to go somewhere. So that's part of my soft rails is really figuring out, like, you know, I want to know before we sit down, where are you guys going? So I can create where they're going a lot more fleshed out and don't have to start making stuff up on the spot. But I think for players, I think it's really important that there are characters that they can care about in the world, like NPCs that that they either feel some kind of bond or connection with, or feel a desire to protect or look after, or are challenged by. I think intriguing non-player characters, whether they be villains or quirky shop owners or parents, or, you know what I mean, different familial or relational connections, those type of bonds, I feel like leave a lot of room for really good role playing for both the dungeon master and the player. I think more than anything, those type of interactions and relationships will give the players a real sense of agency in the world. That would be, I think, the most important thing. But I also think, like, you know, mystery is important, having stuff to figure out and problems to solve. And, you know, and then there's the classic, mm-hmm. you know, you need dungeons, you need adventure, you need, you know, enemies and combat and stuff. One of the things Reed was telling me is because I got some like good like dungeon master advice from him before I started Titans. So what, a couple of things he told me, and I'm outing his good advice here as my good advice. This is what I'm telling everyone.
This is mine now.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things he said is don't let combat go longer than 6 episodes if you can avoid it. Don't let combat go longer than 6 rounds if you can avoid it. It starts to get really boring past that point. And he said always have a couple encounters prepared just in case you feel the story lulling. So if you feel like things are going too slow, then you need to be ready to like introduce some kind of conflict to bring it back up. So you're not like taken off guard. And one of the worst things that can happen as a dungeon master is when you have a session of gameplay, you planned no combat, nothing exciting or engaging. You were just thinking we're going to do world building and conversations, but then the table feels super bored. I've never had a worse feeling than when I've DM'd a game of D&D and no one ever laughed. No one ever like got intense. We didn't even roll a bunch of much dice, and we all left kind of just going like, meh, that's a really disappointing D&D experience. So it's good advice, just having something kind of prepped and ready so that if you need to just go, here's some intensity, you can dive in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Being willing to be flexible with your players is really important.
I love that.
I think you actually said something kind of along those lines in one of the recent episodes in Titan. It was, you were told one time, like, when in doubt, just add more conflict. in that episode, I think, like, you literally had...
Is that like, it's like episode like 9 or 8 or something.
I think it was like right around 9 because you had everybody like going on this one path and all of a sudden it's like, nope, 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 nope. Guess what? Party split 4 ways. Everybody's got their own problem. Let's do it. Let's do it now.
Hey, I did not plan for the party to split 4 ways. But that is exactly what happened. And holy cow, that was insane. But yeah.
Why would you do that?
So one of the fun things, and this has been something really fun for me, I haven't actually talked with anybody about this yet, but the aspect of trying to like follow the progress of a story along a game is actually like really hard. Cause a story is really, really like when you look at the bones of any story, any good book, they're all really similar. Like there's not a lot of like variation. You have your initial kick to launch your heroes on their adventure. And then you have rising action. And the whole point of rising action is that things get complicated, complicated, complicated. It's just you keep presenting trials and issues and challenges that your players have to overcome only to find another trial, another challenge, another complication to overcome until you build all through Act 2 up to the climax. And then that climax leads you into Act 3, and then you go to resolution, that which a good story, the hope is, and I feel like Sneak Attack Volume 1 really, I feel like Reed ended up pulling this off really well, especially because he ended up having to like piece a lot of it along without having pre-planned as much. But the resolution and the climax have to feel really, really satisfying. The climax has to feel, you know, intense enough, and the resolution has to feel satisfying enough. And if you haven't built up enough conflict, then it won't. But if you build up too much conflict, then like the resolution might not feel very resolved. So it's a really delicate balance. And when you're playing D&D, a game that very much relies on, what's the word I'm looking for? Improv, you know, like sometimes you don't get to decide where tension comes or how tension relieves itself. And so it's really an ebb and flow. So for me, it's been really, it's really interesting. And I have some fears that I'll be able to like keep it up. But so far I feel really good about where we are in Titans, at least. I almost never worry about Reed. He's one of the best storytellers I've ever known. And I feel like his brain is 5 times bigger than mine. So
he just seems like he has everything Sneak Attack just handled, no matter what, at this point.
He's ready at any given moment for anything.
Like, feel like when y'all do things that are unexpected, he's just sitting there going, yep, I knew that was going to happen. I knew it. I already had this planned. I'm going to get him back this way. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah. He does a really great job.
Yeah.
And he does a really great job of like reining everyone back.
Oh my goodness.
Dude.
Yeah. He's one of the most unflappable dungeon masters. and
that is a good way to put it.
And he has a table full of people that are interested in flapping.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, especially in Volume 2.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Volume 1, he kind of had Kelsey there to keep everybody on the straight and narrow. Greg just did whatever. You know, and then Sherwood and Keo and the Colonel and just Milo just bouncing around all over the place between those two. Yep. But you kind of had that feeling going. Volume two, oh, yeah. Y'all are man. Over the place.
Dude, volume two is nuts. And I think volume two is like at least the season one. I don't know how the next season will look for volume two of Sneak Attack. But season one definitely feels like a response to how exhausted we were from volume one. Like we all just wanna wear Hawaiian t-shirts and flip-flops and just relax in a beanbag chair.
Yep. There's nothing wrong with that.
But honestly, we recorded, I think we're up to like episode 19 or 20 after our last recording session, and I won't give any spoilers, but there was something very significant that happened in the last episode we recorded for volume two that like took all this crazy wildness that feels like disconnected and happening. And if, cause honestly, it felt like there's so many things. I don't see how there's a story cohesively following through this whole first season of volume two. But then this moment happens in one of these episodes and it felt like everything just went, like just like sucked in together to like one cohesive storyline. And I remember sitting there going like, dang, Reed, what on earth? So he's got some stuff planned, man. I'm excited for people to hear and to see how they respond.
He's like, I've got some experience doing this now. Watch me.
Watch this.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So I have one more question that is probably going to come in two different answers for you.
Okay.
I am curious as to what your favorite moment in Sneak Attack has been.
Okay.
And what your favorite moment in Titans of Altera has been.
Easily for me with Sneak Attack, my favorite moment is probably the finale. There are our epilogue. I mean, the finale, it's so hard not to group those last like three or four episodes together as just one experience. But there was actually in the epilogue of Sneak Attack, where all our characters are older and, you know, we're at this memorial and there's these, you know, spoiler alerts, everybody, but not everyone survived. And we're all sitting around and literally the entire episode is us just interacting as our characters. There's no combat. We're just role playing for the entire epilogue. And it has to be one of my favorite experiences in D&D. I know I've said that several times, but it's hard for me to like characterize it any other way. But I remember after the fact, it closed off so well. Like the characters all spoke into the moment as themselves, and we ended on this note that just felt so final but also satisfying and true to the story and who we were as players. And I went up to my wife because she kind of was a big piece in the movement of that moment, and I told her, I said, so you planned that with Reed, right? Like you were planning, like he told you to ask us that question or to propose that idea. And she goes, no. I just felt like it was what Brandon needed to do at the moment. And so I'm just thinking like, wow, I thought, because of course we've talked during this interview about how incredible Reed is as a dungeon master. So I always assume these really intentional things he has some hand in, but I looked at him and he was like, nope, that was all you guys. It was just like, it was incredible to me that we had built up so much character over 3 years that we were able to like help create this moment just through pure role playing. It was really my favorite moment in Sneak Attack. Absolutely. There's a lot of good moments in Sneak Attack, but that's the...
Yeah.
That's There's a lot of good moments. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of quotable moments. I don't think of, at least.
Yeah, even in the first like 10 episodes, I'm gonna live forever.
that's
one of my favorites. Okay,
I'm gonna go eat rocks.
Dude, seriously. With Titans, we've just spent the last like 8 or 10 episodes building up to this really big conflict. And and I unleash a Titan that's bigger than any Titan that the players have ever seen. I know this is kind of spoilery, but I honestly don't think it's that big a deal. You won't, like, when the moment comes, it's not like anyone's going like, oh, he did what? He introduced a bigger challenge? So
there's a bigger monster now? What? How dare he tell me
to
that?
To me, the event itself is not really the spoiler. It's kind of how the characters respond. And one of our, and I ended up almost dropping over half the players, like three of the four people, I almost end up just like knocking them down. And the, I may be overestimating it, but it felt really big. It was just very like, oh shoot. As a dungeon master, I go like, this might've been too much. Like, I might be pushing it.
I know that feeling
too far. And, the way one of our players, I'm not going to name it, but the way one of them responds, you gotta, I just don't feel comfortable spoiling it like too much.
Fair enough.
But the way one of our players responds is so impactful. It's funny to me because I'm still feeling the lighthearted nature of the combat, but this player responded in such a sincere way to their character that I was like, oh, wow. Like this ended up being like a heavier moment than I expected. And it ended up leading to this really cool conclusion to the war at the World Bridge. And that whole war sequence ended up being way more than I had anticipated, but I really, really loved it. Yeah.
Very nice.
That's awesome. I'm so excited.
It's going to end up being like seven parts, which I did not mean to do. So, yeah.
Whatever works.
I mean,
yay content.
I don't got to think of clever titles. I just do the same title for 7 weeks in a row, 7 or 8 weeks in a row.
We're still in the same spot. Part one, part two, part three.
It works though. Yeah. It works. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, Josh, thank you so much for taking the time and talking with us.
That has been so much fun.
Dude,
it's been so much fun. This was on our bucket list of people to interview, and that is you, and this is great.
Oh,
so
man.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot. It's an honor being here. I'm really grateful that you reached out and asked me to come on.
All right. So if people want to get in contact with you to hear more about Sneak Attack, to hear more about Titans of Altera, where can they find you and all of your podcasts and whatever else you have going on?
So you can find us, you can find Sneak Attack and the Titans of Altera pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher. But real quick, if it's all right, we're going to be launching a Kickstarter for Titans of Altera for our very first world book in July of this year.
Yes.
So I'm super excited because I've put so much time and energy writing and building out the world of Altera. So my hope is to get to share it and have the golems and how to operate them and all these crazy Titans and stuff. If anyone would love to give that a look,
so cool,
in July, that'd be great.
So you will have to come back before you launch that and we'll talk about it.
Oh man.
And we'll get all the awesome info and we'll push that out along with your Kickstarter.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to.
And it'll be great. It'll be awesome. Very necessary.
Thanks, guys.
It'll be so much fun.
Right. Yes. On.
I'm really
that's so cool. Congratulations.
Thanks. I mean, we haven't launched it yet.
But you're doing it.
We are. We're doing it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really stoked. It's been super fun to build, and we've done Patreons and we've sold T-shirts and stuff. For me, the world book is like one of the things we got from Sneak Attack so much. The first volume was like people kept wanting, they wanted to be in Brannis, like they wanted to like be part of the world, be part of the adventure, like have an NPC that shows up or, you know, like get themselves involved in that world that Reed had built. But because we had never really planned for it to be anything more than Sneak Attack, it was really hard to like go back and how do you organize all this stuff that we weren't planning to organize after the fact. So with Titans, that's one of the ways I tried to be really intentional was I want to intentionally, with the very like beginning of the podcast, have the plan that we're going to make a world book. And I want to start structuring it from day one, start building it together as quickly as I can. We've been working with an artist like from day one, and she's been our artist for any of our online art as well as our website. And she's going to be our book artist. So it's like, it's all cohesive and put together. And we've enjoyed Titan so much and playing in Altera that my hope is that putting this book together is something like I can give to the listeners and go, take it, like make Altera your own. You know what I mean? Make the adventures your own. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. have fun with your friends, with your family, in a world that I love, you know? So that's the hope, at least.
That's really cool. I am also really excited for July.
Yeah, we'll launch the Kickstarter, and then a bunch of fireworks will go off, and I'll be like, wow, like, I didn't realize we were this big
a deal.
For
you!
Yay!
I'll need the ego boost, I'm sure.
That'll be great. Oh, that'll be really cool.
Cool. But yeah, thank you guys again for having me. This has been super fun. You seem like some cool dudes. I'm glad that we got a chance to connect.
Yeah. Me too. If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast, or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors. First off, Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod.
Also, Kraken Dice. If you're looking for some awesome new dice, you don't have to look any further. Just go check them out, krakendice.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at krakendice. And then when you find your dice that you have to have, use the code MAGE and get yourself 10% off, because who doesn't like 10% off?
And of course, last but not least, sonerdwear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at sonerdwear. They've really stepped up the entire game for us. They now host all of our swag, so you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, cups. So you can go to sonerdwear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, and you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order. Anything else?
I don't know. I think we actually got it all that time.
It helps when you write things down.
It does.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.